Cari amici di Radio Pazza, benvenuti. Io sono Bach e questo è un nuovo incontro che abbiamo fatto qui con un artista internazionale. Lei è Kim Wyman. Hi Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to talk with you.
Enjoy it.
Kim Wyman è un artista che abbiamo conosciuto tramite i Telepop Music. Lei è di New York e insomma siamo entrati in contatto così anche casualmente. Un amico in comune, Christophe Etier, ci collega in questo incontro. E insieme a Kim vogliamo esplorare un po' i suoi gusti musicali per conoscerla meglio, ma soprattutto magari conoscere anche la sua musica. Come sempre, le interviste di Radio Pazza non sono dedicate solamente all'aspetto musicale delle persone che incontriamo, ma anche alla loro vita personale. Quindi adesso traduco un po', magari così riusciamo a comunicare tutti insieme. I was saying to our listeners that the meetings we do here on Radio Pazza, the interviews we do, not only to know what's about the music what's the musical production of an artist we meet, but also about his personal life, his way of living, or you know whatever it's the surrounding about his musical production. We would like to know more about you. So, for example, what you do in life apart of music, what you like doing, or what's inspiring for you.
Wow, what's inspiring for me? I think for me, one of the most inspiring things, especially living in New York City, is to be still in touch with nature on some degree. Because nature, for me, carries so much inspiration for music and for writing. And I've always, since I think I was very young, captured information from nature. And I felt like it was my own little secret that was being given to me so that I could put it in a certain way from the world around me. I always feel very lucky to be here in this
Wow.
world. So I think it's always inspired me just to even be able to be in the world. I think has been a huge gift that I think I was always well aware of as a child, almost
Wow.
too aware.
This is really profound. I mean, it was not the real aim of my question, but you know, it's fulfilling. I love it. So, please tell us. I mean, not everybody went to New York like like me. I've never been to New York yet, and I hope one day I will, and so we can meet and have a coffee together. But please tell me, where's the nature in New York?
Nature in New York is, well, it's everywhere, but it's around New York. It's in Central Park and it's in the parks around New York. And it's just, even in, not even nature in the sense of trees and dirt under your fingernails. I think it's more just being aware of the fact that even when you are in this place in New York and you're trying to create something in this big blocks of cement that are all around you and people everywhere in such a huge number that you have to still be able to go somewhere sometimes and look up at the sky and say, all right,
Well,
you know?
No, no, this is interesting. Not everybody would think about nature in terms of society as well. I mean, society normally is not included in the concept of nature. Instead, I think you're right.
Right, I never, yeah, it's society. I mean, we are part of
Yeah,
nature,
exactly.
not to sound too, hippy-dippy about it, but I think we are definitely a part of it, and we're seeing that more and more every day in our environment and how we affect the environment with how we react and how we don't react and how we ignore things, And we're all really one part of one big, huge thing, and that's really, really important, I think, and it holds us together on some level, even when everybody splits apart, So, sorry.
It's nice we laugh about it. It's
Sorry.
not. It's not. It's really nice we laugh about it because we are at the same time we are sincere, and at the same time we don't take it so seriously like lots of people do when they talk about society. It's a funny way of interpreting life, you know.
Yeah, I think it is, but
It's important
sometimes
to
it's
laugh
good.
about things.
Oh my God, yeah.
Please, please, let's laugh about things. So, I didn't prepare. I need to translate a little bit for our listeners, okay?
Okay.
Allora, traduciamo un po', visto che ci siamo lasciati prendere dalle nostre incantevoli risate. Kim mi diceva, insomma, il suo pensiero su ciò che la ispira di più nella vita, che può essere fondamentalmente il concetto di natura e ciò che sente intorno a lei che l'entusiasma e che la fa sentire viva, insomma. E quindi io le ho risposto, le ho chiesto, ma noi magari spiegolo a chi non è mai stato a New York come me, che cosa c'è di della natura a New York. E lei mi ha risposto: beh, a parte Central Park, a parte ciò che c'è intorno alla città, anche New York stessa fa parte della natura, anche un grande palazzo fatto di cemento, anche la quantità incredibile di persone, anche il fatto che guardi il cielo e vedi uno spettacolo, quella è la natura. Beh, a quel punto io ho voluto darle ragione, ecco. Mi ha fatto riflettere, giustamente, insomma, la natura include in sé anche il concetto di società. Bene, io di Kim Wyman ho abbastanza informazioni, non ho avuto il tempo di elaborarle per conto mio, ma cercheremo di farlo insieme. Infatti leggo qui da una biografia che lei mi ha mandato, che vivendo a New York è stata non ha mai avuto un registratore fra le mani, fino a che non ha avuto a disposizione un Tascam a 4 tracce, con il quale ha iniziato a mettere in sequenza le sue idee e trasformare le sue parole in melodie. E, beh, interessante questa cosa, di soprattutto da parte di una ragazza, ecco, di prendere in mano della tecnologia per poi poter realizzare le sue stesse produzioni. E questo è esattamente ciò che le chiederò in questo momento. Kim, we would like to know, reading about your biography, something more about that famous Tascam 4-track recorder that changed your life.
Yes, it did. In its ghetto-ness, it was just, you know, I had been walking around trying to figure out how to get down ideas in a form that I could, you know, I would get an idea in my head like people do, and you're walking down the street in the noise, or you're doing something, or taking a shower, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, where's the handheld, you know, and you put on the little idea down on the tape, which is cassette tapes. But then I finally had graduated later in a rudimentary way to the Tascam 4-track, was just basically 4 tracks, and it's still a cassette recorder, but it was very, very basic sequencing in the most, you know, basic sense ever, to be able to put down ideas and get into a zone and actually put down, you know, one idea and then put a harmony or put a counter melody or put, and that to me was, you know, when my whole world opened up and I decided, my God, I have to do this for a living, because there's not enough time to ever do everything I want to do. It's infinite in every way, even on this little 4-track, it's infinite. So I can't imagine how infinite it would be, you know, on computers and on everything else.
It's beautiful. So, it's beautiful when a girl takes control of the situation and starts using technology. Because normally, I mean, maybe it's, I don't want to be sexist, but, you know, boys normally have a better relation with technology, so I really appreciate when a girl can make whatever a boy can do, especially in music production. I mean, it's admirable, isn't it?
It's not, you know, it's funny because I think, yeah, I did it in such a basic way of, I don't really consider myself a producer, but I can go in and I like to work with producers, and I love to collaborate with producers, and I'm always looking for people that are open and like-minded, because I feel that maybe even if you have the ideas and you don't have, I'm no technical wizard at all, but I think that's what's so great about moving on into the electronica and the things that are, you know, electronic, coming from such an analog background. And yeah, I've always been, you know, able to really, really be in situations where I got to learn so much about analog recording and analog music from people that are just, you know, legends, that I got to sit like a fly on the wall and listen to what they, you know, had to say and watch them work. And so once I married that to the electronic sense, it just became one and everything became one, whereas you're sitting down with a piano, you know, and it's all analog and it's completely not electric, and then you get to marry it to something completely electric, and it's just the next step. It's just that whole merging of things that are, it's kind of like, I like to call it analog electronica, really, is really the genre I'm the most interested in.
Okay, I'll just translate it. Dicevo, Kim mi stava spiegando che il suo rapporto con la tecnologia è nato un po' con questo attrezzo, ma soprattutto con ciò che la colpiva di più, ciò che ha amato di più è stato un po' il connubio che è riuscito a fare fra lo strumento analogico, quindi il pianoforte, il suo strumento principe, devo dire, e la tecnologia che è riuscita a gestire anche grazie un po' all'aiuto dei produttori, eccetera. E quello che lei chiama analog electronic relationship, cioè rapporto fra elettrologico, non so se sono riuscito bene a tradurre un po' il concetto, siamo andati un po' fuori. You remind me something that I did in my past when I was to the concert of Björk in Cambridge in 1999. And in that time, I used a tape recorder that I had from my university, and I went there with the stereo microphone, and I tried to record my own personal point of listening. So what are we going to listen right now is exactly Björk. Do you agree?
Yes.
Yeah, and this is Unravel. Dicevo, raccontavo a Kim un'esperienza che ho avuto molto simile a Cambridge nel 1999. Ho avuto a disposizione un piccolo registratore su cassetta, un microfono stereofonico, e sono andato al concerto di Björk, ed è proprio lei che ascoltiamo adesso dalla selezione che ci ha offerto Kim Wyman. Questa è la sua Unravel. E abbiamo ascoltato adesso la meravigliosa Unravel, una bellissima, non so, forse io la definirei una lettera d'amore, in cui si distrugge l'amore e si ricostruisce. E questa era Björk, appunto, e ce l'ha fatta ascoltare Kim Wyman, che abbiamo qui in collegamento. Kim, would you like to say something about this song?
For me, I think Björk, it's hard to pick a song, but this one and maybe Headphones, these two songs changed so much for me, because she just has this courage and this strength, immense courage as an artist, as a singer, as a woman. I think just the way that she delivers things and the way that she goes in, she retains a fragility, she retains her fragileness and her innocence, even though she's strong, like a soldier standing there, she still maintains this fragile femininity that I think is just beautiful balance, you know.
Oops. Oh my God. Okay. Ci sono un po' di problemi, il collegamento, insomma, Roma-New York è abbastanza a rischio. Ecco, stavamo dicendo di Björk, Kim ci diceva che quello che ammira di Björk è appunto la sua capacità di mantenere una femminilità molto spiccata, la sua femminilità, il suo essere donna, proprio nonostante l'energia propulsiva maschile, si potrebbe dire, forse una sorta di giusto equilibrio tra yin e yang che conserva quest'artista. Le sue due canzoni preferite appunto sono Headphones e questa qui che era Unravel. Well, Kim, I have here how can I say this? It's like an article about you on musicomh.com, and he says Kim Wyman comes from the opposite end of the indie spectrum. This New Yorker produces a wonderful spaced-out noise. It's off-kilter pop, killer hooks, swirling atmospherics, and the voice of a frost-bitten angel. Wayman's vocals are the perfect match for the hazy soundscapes that wrap around the songs. I don't understand really what it says, but it sounds really nice for me, you know? Sto leggendo un articolo che è stato scritto su di lei su musicomh.com. Dice Kim Wyman viene dall'opposto dello spettro indie, questa ragazza di New York produce un bellissimo suono spaziale e poi altre parole che non capisco e non conosco. What is interesting is that they say think Björk and Sparkle Horse sharing a flying saucer trip to Mars. It's really
they thought Björk was already on Mars, but okay.
Yeah. qui ci suggeriscono di immaginare Björk e Sparkle Horse, che personalmente non conosco, condividere un viaggio spaziale attraverso per raggiungere Marte. Le immagini suggerite in questo articolo sono molto suggestive, ma come al solito i giornalisti veri non sanno costruire un discorso sensato. I was saying that the words in this article are really nice, but at the same time, like big professionals, they say a lot of things without really putting any content inside. I agree with the similarity of your style with Björk. Maybe in the use you do of sensuality in your way of singing.
Well, thank you. That's a very... flattered.
No, it's true. I mean, is it a technique that you developed in time?
I think that, it did take me a long time to figure out what my voice, you know, was, what it could be, because for me growing up, I sang in choir in school, and I was in slick choir, and I was, you know, singing all kinds of music my whole life from when I grew up with my mother, you know, who I love so much, playing the stereo every single day, Barbra Streisand, you know.
Wow,
every day,
Barbra Streisand,
Funny Girl, whatever it was, always Barbra Streisand. And Barbra Streisand to me was a goddess. She just, it made me want to sing, and it made me want to go to that place that she got to where she was just flying. And I didn't know what it was, but I knew I wanted to do it every minute of every day of my life. So I think I started singing, and then once I realized that, you know, you can do all these different things with your voice, you kind of have to find, you get confused in the beginning, and you say, well, I can go here low and I can go here high, what's wrong, you know? And that's where you have to really just delve into it and study it and understand that there is no, I think once you realize there is no border, you don't have to define it, is when you really find what you're supposed to be doing, you know, and what you're maybe love to do, or when you're singing something and you get that feeling where you go, ah, oh, you feel it, and you just have it on your tongue and you taste it. It's kind of like, okay, that was a good one. That's the one that felt right, even if the other one was more what you think sounds better. This one felt more real, you know, and that's really when it's real.
Yeah, I want to translate it before I lose this concept. It's really interesting. Lei ci sta spiegando appunto che io le ho chiesto in questo modo di cantare, che è molto simile a quello di Björk, per certi versi, voglio dire, nel senso che è la sensualità che riesce a trasmettere attraverso la voce ciò che la rende vicina a questa grande artista. E ciò che volevo sapere era appunto se lei ha sviluppato una tecnica in questo senso. E quindi la sua risposta è stata, beh, sai, a un certo punto ho cercato di capire che cosa potevo fare con la mia voce, soprattutto quando cantavo con il coro. E poi, dietro l'incoraggiamento della madre, lei ha scoperto un po' la musica in questo senso, anche se poi deve confessare che ciò che amava di più era Barbara Streisand, appunto un'artista che magari in Italia non è stata molto famosa o molto apprezzata, ovviamente fa parte integrante della cultura americana contemporanea, però lei la suonava veramente tutti i giorni con lo stereo a manetta, anche dando fastidio ai suoi parenti, eccetera. Ed è quello che puoi fare con la voce, è straordinario, perché si impara, insomma, si sviluppa sì una tecnica, ma allo stesso tempo si esplorano tutte le potenzialità possibili della propria voce, che è qualcosa di assolutamente individuale. Kim, what I would like to say is that what I think is, oops, okay, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was saying that I had the same feeling when I started to do radio. You know, when I started to speak at a microphone. In the beginning, I was hating my voice, like everybody. You know. And then at the end, you start to transform it somehow. You start to building a character, which is not really you, but at the same time is somehow your real yourself, you know? Can you?
Yes, exactly. Because, and especially, you know, I have to say, having thrown out the name of Barbara Streisand, it was an interesting thing for my mother to have, subconsciously picked to put on, because no one will ever sound like Barbara Streisand in the world, ever. She's a voice no one will ever emulate, and no one tries, for a very good reason. But it gave me, no one can sound like her. She's just who she is, you know. No one could ever sound like this woman. And so it was good, because it's not like I was ever trying to sound like her. It was more I wanted to feel what she made me feel when I sang, and that's really what happened to me at very, very young age. Her and Donna Summer, believe it or not.
What age? We want to know.
When I was very young, just growing up, I honestly don't know, because it was always on.
Okay.
But I just think that even, and then Donna Summer to me too. Also, when I heard I Feel Love for the first time, and the Giorgio Moroder stuff, I was going to send it to you actually to play as well, but then I had to stop at something. So that stuff, just those two singers, I think really early on made me want to sing all the time with my hairbrush standing on my bed, you know.
Sì, sì. Ci sta raccontando insomma che la madre suonava sempre la musica di Barbara Streisand, e quindi come dire, è stata quella sì l'inizio di tutto quanto, ma poi automaticamente la grande passione trasmessa da Barbara, il modo di lasciarsi andare, di esprimere tutto il sentimento, è stato anche questo modo di fare. ciò che l'ha ispirata, appunto, quindi a rilasciare quella parte di se stessi e non proprio a imitare. Infatti ci stava appunto dicendo che Barbara non è mai stata imitata da nessuno, non è imitabile. So Kim, let's go on with the listening, because a lot of people don't know your voice yet. We didn't play anything yours yet. So we are going to listen to your song called Four Words, which is I think a masterpiece of poetry, can I say, because I like the circular way of constructing a concept.
Thank you. I'm blushing.
No, you don't have to, come on. Sì, adesso andiamo ad ascoltare un pezzo di Kim che io reputo veramente un'opera d'arte, perché il suo modo circolare di costruire un concetto è incredibilmente bello. E il pezzo si intitola Four Words.
This is the beginning. This is the beginning.
Really nice. I mean, I can't say more. Kim.
Yes.
How did it came out?
This song was one of the songs that comes out. It just came out. I had some words written down, and basically, I sat down, I was renting a sublet that had a grand piano in it. It was a concert grand to see Bechstein, amazing, unbelievable piano in New York. And I sat down, I was moving out of the apartment and I didn't want to move. And I was sad because they were selling the building, and I sat down at the piano and I wrote a love song to words. with the piano that day. I mean, I literally wrote, that's what it was about. Four Words is a love song written for words, and my love for words and their power and what they can do and the way they make people feel, and whether it's good, bad, strong, weak, you know, words are unbelievable. And so for me, that was the song that's a love song that's written for words instead of a person. Pretty much.
Ok, ho chiesto a Kim come è uscita fuori questa canzone. E lei mi ha detto che è già è uscita fuori, cioè appunto nessuno è andato a cercarla, nessuno come dire, ha stimolato la nascita di questa idea, è semplicemente venuta da sé. Tutto è iniziato sedendosi al pianoforte di casa sua, e la tristezza che l'aveva colta, il fatto che stessero per vendere l'edificio, per distruggerlo, e ha fatto nascere questa canzone di amore dedicata alle parole, perché la sua è una grande passione per le parole. Per chi di voi ha la possibilità, insomma, scaricatevi il testo. Io metterò un link nel post di questo intervento di Radio Pazza per poter leggere il testo, che appunto inizia con "c'era una volta", e allo stesso tempo il libro finisce con "c'era una volta ancora". I love the way it ends, the circular way you close this concept, which is "once upon a time again". It's, you know, it's like sound waves, you know, they go up and they go down the same way and they come back to the point, and it's a spiral at the same time. It's full of, I can see geometrical things in it. It's lovely. It reminds me of Baccalaureate, isn't it? The video and the song itself, like this book writing itself at the same time. It's really interesting how words can recall something we take from the big sea of the community. How do you say that? I'm looking for the words, which is the common imaginarium. Is it correct? Yeah.
Commonarium.
Sorry, can you repeat?
You said the commonarium.
No, I said the you know, Jung, Carl Gustav Jung.
Ah, yeah.
So the collective imaginarium. Is it correct?
I think so. But yes, because when you talk about that, I notice in your interviews you get very philosophical, which I like.
I try to.
You're big into philosophy. But yes, because all things, you know, if you didn't have that circular pattern and things weren't going in that, everything is a cycle, you know, and everything does go back. And I think that a song that, if it's literally written, can also be very powerful on many different levels. If it's written a certain way, it can apply to someone who's not thinking about it in a literal way. It can apply to someone who's thinking about it in an extremely esoteric way, or applying it to something completely different than what it's written about. But if it is circular, and if it's something that has no end, not even physical, you know.
Forever.
Sorry.
It can last forever.
Sorry. Hello?
Oh, wait. When something is circular and it finds the way to transmit through time and space, and somehow it becomes everlasting, what I was trying to say is that we all take from what everybody shares, and at the same time we give back to it, you know. It's like a living thing. It's like the big sea of ideas we take and we give to it.
Oh yeah.
This is why I can understand your love for words. Somehow I have the same.
Yeah, I mean, words, you know, sometimes people get blocked, and as a writer, they get blocked. And I think I had a very good friend of mine who was a songwriter who I love dearly. He's written some really great songs back in the day in Motown. And he said to me, his name was Carl Hampton, and he said, you know, sometimes you have to fill the well, and you don't have to say anything. You just read. You fill your mind with words. You just read everything you can, whether it's a magazine, a novel, War and Peace, whatever. You fill your head again with those words, and they will come back around when they're ready.
A big
and game. I thought that was an amazing thing to say.
State ascoltando Radio Pazza.
I have to open back the folder. I had to restart the whole computer. I'm sorry. I think he hates me. No. I did it. I mean, I'm saying that I just did it. Now it should be okay. Let me open the folder with the songs.
We don't have to. Do we have to start over?
No.
Oh, okay.
I saved the recording.
Like, oh my god.
No. I saved the recording, but we will try to go over, go on to follow the thing. I'm coming from some days of flu, and my brain is completely crashed. Can I say? So I can't even translate in my mind. It's a bit hard for me. So please forgive me if. If I see a lot of crazy things and bullshit, anyway.
Okay, you have an excuse today.
Just for today, I know. Tomorrow. Siamo tornati qui su Radio Pazza, ospite Kim Wyman. Io ho avuto dei problemi tecnici serissimi in quanto è saltata la connessione, quindi non ricordo di che cosa stavo parlando, eccetera. Mi odierete, lo so, e andiamo avanti con Kim. Kim, we were talking about something philosophical, I think, but I don't know. I don't remember what we said. We will listen to it on the episode. Let's go forward. So the next song we are going to listen is Robot Man, which is, would you like to say something about this song? We don't know anything about it, so please introduce it to us.
Well, Robot Man is a song I wrote with a friend of mine, Duke Bonachev, who is here in New York, and we were writing some songs, and it's a song that basically I met him, and then he was very good friends with Christophe Hetzier of Telepop Music, and so he let them hear it, and then they were looking for it. It's basically the reason why I met Telepop Music was because of my work with Duca, so I thought it would be good to include it.
Can you repeat his name? I didn't get it.
The last part?
No. His name. What's your friend's name?
Duke Bonachev. Bonachev. It's a Macedonian name.
Okay, Duke Bassington.
Bonachev. Do you want me to spell for you?
Yeah, write it on Skype.
Oh, write it on Skype?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's because the audio is not perfect, so I cannot even say it. It's a pity. I mean, he deserves it.
I know, Duke B, right? It's easier. No,
Whatever, it's fine. I will read it. It's okay.
I'm looking for... It's in the biography, the exact spelling. I know, because I don't even think I just call him... Oh, here it is. Duke... One second.
Duke?
Duke is his name. Okay. Wait a minute. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. Here I see it. Duke Boyazov.
Boyazov.
Okay, I'll try to do my best. I hope Duke doesn't mind about it, really.
No, everyone does it all the time to him. It's so funny. I just call him Duke B now.
I think he's used to it anyway. To people saying it wrong.
Boyazov is a Macedonian name.
Okay. Kim ci stava spiegando, insomma, che questa canzone che andremo a ascoltare ora, appunto, Robot Man, è un pezzo che ha scritto insieme al suo amico Duke, adesso provo a dirlo, Boyazov, che è un cognome macedone. Questo suo amico è stato il tramite che poi l'ha portato a conoscere Christophe Thier, che abbiamo ascoltato e conosciuto nell'intervista fatta con i Telepop Music, ovvero la sua persona. E quindi è un pezzo che ci tenevamo a farvi ascoltare, appunto perché c'era questo collegamento. Infatti Kim è nostra ospite proprio appunto per l'amicizia che c'è stata con Christophe. So Kim, we are going to listen to Robot Man, and is it in your CD, in your album?
The one that I sent you, no. It will be coming up on a new project that we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing an EP, and maybe even we're talking about shooting a video this summer for it in Macedonia for a Robot Man.
Okay. quindi le ho chiesto se era presente nel suo CD, perché me ne ha mandato uno. Infatti sono veramente felice, perché ogni volta che mi mandano un CD è come un po' invertire le sorti del destino, visto che da piccolo ho sempre cercato di andare a reperire o comprare una marea di CD. Adesso mi dire che Alan è bellissimo, non è presente in questo CD perché magari verrà pubblicato più avanti con un nuovo progetto, e stanno infatti girando il video in Macedonia. So Kim, we listen to Robot Man, and please stay with us.
Lounging on my private plane, I don't think about you. My robot man, yeah.
Children.
You don't need us.
Wait, you said a family song?
Oh yeah, I listened to it with my parents driving in the car going on holiday.
Well, you know. See, but right away you think it's a dirty song. Maybe maybe it's just about a girl who wants her boyfriend to open the car door. Maybe, you know.
No, I didn't mean to insult you at all. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just a joking moment. Okay. No, but I like the beat. I mean, it's really, you know, tough. It's something to dance, you know. I don't know if normally you play dance music, or is just a deviation of your repertoire.
That is definitely a deviation of my New York repertoire. Uh-huh. From that the kind of lately we've been getting more into world and a little bit into things mixing reggaeton and kind of different world beats and influences. But I think that for me, you know, it's definitely kind of more songwritery stuff with, you know, coming from the, I shouldn't say that, take what? It back. More, it's just that kind of, I guess what it is more the attitude of the vocal. It's very bitchy.
Yeah,
kind of, and like very like mean, and he's like, no, meaner, you know, and I'm like, really, you want me to be meaner? He's like, yeah, and I'm like, okay,
why not? I mean, it can be it's a character. We are free to do whatever we want on stage,
exactly,
isn't it? Yeah,
sure. But it's a woman who doesn't need, you know, she's very finely happy with her robot man, so
yeah, why not? Madonna does it.
But then,
don't you think Madonna does like that?
Oh yeah.
So no. What? She can do it. Why don't we?
Exactly. She's got Jesus now.
Oh my God. Well, you know, I'd rather prefer real women instead of a robot woman. But you know, it depends. Everybody got his own taste. So, we were talking about men and women, and as far as I see from the pictures, because we didn't meet yet. I can say you're a really beautiful girl, you're a really beautiful woman, and I'm not making any compliment, it's just the pure truth. How do you deal with this in the relationship with the public, or you know, with a producer or anybody who's investing on you? Is it a limit or, you know, an advantage?
That's a really good question.
I got you.
I think that it's, I mean, you know, there's a lot of really beautiful women out there, and there's a lot of really beautiful men. And so regardless of whether you're a beautiful woman or man, I think it's kind of, if you're trying to say something and trying to get a vision out there, you really kind of want to get that out there. And so I don't know, I think that it's coming around where people now are starting to be more, they're having more fun with image, you know, like people like Lady Gaga, and it's kind of image for, it's becoming more art, whereas like Peter Gabriel did that, you know, back in the day where he was really, really super theatrical, and you can kind of make yourself whatever you really need to be now, and I think it's much more universal, and there's not a lot of cap on how long you have unless you're doing like, you know, teeny bopper, Justin Bieber kind of music, you know, in America. I think in Europe it's more open, but I definitely think that it's great to be working with people who can see past your sex, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to just to work with people who can see past that, and there's a time and a place for everything, and they appreciate it as well. I mean, you can't, you know, you have to observe everything, and you have to see that everyone is a sexual being, and everyone is a human being. Everyone's human, right? So,
yeah, but
there's,
yeah.
You know, it's, well, it's kind of like, it's fun to understand that people's strengths are here and there, but at the same time, it's kind of, in America, I think it's different. People get capsulated into different categories, you know, more than in Europe.
Well, I'll just reassure you, I can tell you this happens in Italy as well.
Yeah, in Italy, yeah,
of
for
course.
Sure.
I mean, we live on the image. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay. So keep it there, and I'll try to translate so we get back to the argument, okay? Stavamo parlando appunto con Kim all'inizio. Oddio, ho fatto veramente passare troppo tempo, quindi è anche difficile tradurre. Oggi mi sto lasciando un po' troppo andare. Stavamo parlando con Kim appunto di questo pezzo che è Robot Man, e il pezzo inizia con "voglio un uomo robot, tutto per me, non voglio, non, cioè, vabbè, insomma, un testo un po' così, io me ne esco, mi sembra un testo un po' femminista", quindi ci facciamo insomma le nostre belle risatine, già le avete sentite, e però da lì scatta un po' un discorso interessante, che è appunto quello del, come dire, del rapporto con la bellezza, perché da come potrete vedere, insomma, da alcune foto di Kim Weisman, lei è una bellissima ragazza, e le ho chiesto appunto se questo certe volte è un limite o è un vantaggio, magari nel rapporto con le persone che investono su di lei o con un produttore o altre cose del genere, e lei insomma mi stava spiegando un po' che, a parte che è una buona domanda, vabbè, ma quindi un po' per girarci intorno. Però rimane sempre il fatto che negli Stati Uniti un po' c'è questo problema di essere incapsulati in un personaggio, quindi l'apparenza sì è molto importante ed è sempre bello quando riescono a vedere oltre questo fatto, oltre questo come dire, questa parete esteriore dell'apparenza fisica. You know what, Kim? I was when I first listened to your voice. Hello.
Yes, hi.
What happened in my case is that I was so much interested in your voice. So I used it to make a remix, and we are going to listen to it right now. And what happened right now, it was that I as far as I listened to your voice, I was interested in your music, you know? So I didn't need to see a picture of you or whatever it is to be interested in you as a person. And I think that was the best thing that could happen between two people, you know, get in touch between sound or music or the same interest that they share. So, I don't mean to say anything particular, and it's just for presenting the song itself. but I would like you to comment the statement I made.
Yeah, I do. I agree. I think that because, you know, in this world, sometimes if everything is too sexy or everything's too physical, it becomes, as a woman, I think sometimes you try to suppress that because you go, well, I don't want to be seen just as an object. And then once you just embrace it and say, you know what, I'm not afraid to make this song as sexy as I want to make it, because why should I be fighting against that? That's not a rule that I made. That's just a rule I'm feeling from society. So let me go wherever I want with it and let it happen. And whatever people feel, they feel. And that way you're not censoring yourself just because of what society thinks or what they expect. You know, so whatever it makes you feel, that's good. That means it's doing its job. You know.
Sì, appunto, Kim ci stava dicendo. Oddio. Oops.
Oh.
Okay. It's strange when I start talking, something happens with the levels. Kim ci stava dicendo appunto che è d'accordo con quello che ho detto, non perché l'ho detto io, però perché scusate, sono un po' raffreddato. Però perché è proprio questo il fatto, cioè molto spesso si viene giudicati per ciò che si appare, ma a lei non interessa molto questo, e non per questo si vuole limitare, soprattutto magari nell'essere sexy in un certo modo mentre canta, oppure esprimere la sua personalità in un altro modo mentre utilizza un'altra tecnica vocale. Ed è oh my god, I'm choking. I'll drink some water. This is a reality radio.
Somebody send an ambulance.
you know that I will cut and paste everything here. You already know this.
Yep.
I've lost my point.
You were translating what I said about the just being yourself, because, you know, you don't want to be afraid to be sexual or to be that side of you as a woman, just because you might feel objectified at points. You want to be able to be whatever you need to be, and you don't want to let it censor you, basically, is what I had said.
Yeah, don't be conditioned by the appearance.
Yeah, or you want to be able to, just because maybe sometimes society makes you feel that way, you don't want it to hinder your performance. Or maybe you do want to say something hypersexual or whatever, whether you do or you don't, you shouldn't be afraid to be any certain way just because you're afraid to be seen in a certain light. And I think it's huge for America, because America does it all the time. For Europe, I think it's a little more open, and I think that's what's been fun with telepop music too, is that I've been able to say what I really want to say. And a lot of the songs we've written together have been quite you know, racy, and it's funny because it's been fun. I've been allowed to just kind of let that side come out, you know, because the music is that way, and it makes me feel that way. So whatever it made me feel, I just I sang it, and a lot of it ended up pretty, you know, making me just feel like I wanted to make people feel sexy.
I love you when you say this. Adesso ci andiamo ad ascoltare la mia versione, modestamente, il mio remix che è stato fatto per i Telepop Music di Ghost Girl con la voce di Kim Wyman, e poi proseguiremo su questo argomento.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, I'm messing it up sometimes, you know, with this microphone letting me down. I'm going crazy. But it's really nice to talk with you, by the way.
You too.
I'm having a lot of fun. Ed eccoci di nuovo qui nell'intervista con Kim Wyman, e quello che abbiamo appena ascoltato è il mio remix per i Telepop Music di Ghost Girl. È successo così: stavo sul sito, sul MySpace dei Telepop Music, e vedo che c'è la possibilità di remixare uno dei loro pezzi, e quindi mi scarico la traccia vocale. Nella traccia vocale c'era la bellissima voce di Kim, che mi ha reso subito, come dire, interessato al progetto. Devo dire, appunto, il discorso era questo: eravamo rimasti un po' sull'apparenza fisica, perché Kim, essendo una splendida ragazza, devo dire, ma al di là di questo ha suscitato il mio interesse prima di tutto per la voce, e questo è stato appunto la cosa che più mi ha colpito, diciamo. Cioè, si può veramente esprimere una personalità attraverso una performance, che può essere vocale, di movimento, non so, qualsiasi forma d'arte voi conosciate. Ed è stato appunto questo, cioè l'interesse suscitato dal carattere, che si può esprimere trasversalmente un po' attraverso l'arte. I was saying to our listeners that exactly this is what it happened. I listened to your voice, and what I felt was exactly a character. Your straight personality, which came out from your art. Which is, for example, using your voice, but it could have been, for example, with a painting or any other kind of art, you know. There's a possibility, a transversal possibility of expressing the self through any mean, don't you think?
Yes, definitely. No matter what the medium is.
If somebody is
going in a museum, or if they're looking, you know, on the subway and somebody wrote something and left it on the seat, you're like touched by it. You're like, wow, you know, it's just that's how people communicate, even if they don't know each other.
Yeah, you know? This is what we were looking for, especially with this interview, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next song, you said it's an important song for you, but I think it's also a recent one. We are talking about Little Dragons Twice. So it's something that happened recently for you.
Yeah, Little Dragon. Well, there, I think they released it that record in 2007, I believe.
Yeah, 2007, exactly.
When I listened to this record, it was one of those songs that it put me into this place where I literally listened to this song over and over and over in my headphones, in the subway, at home. My neighbors probably thought it was crazy. It hit me in this place, and something magical about certain songs like that. Her voice, their combined sensibilities, everything about it was just so beautiful, heartbreakingly beautiful. And I didn't know the band, but I had been played by Chris Doritis on KCRW in LA, and after one of my songs was played, they played this song, and I listened to it, and I thought, my God, who are these people, you know? And I checked them out, and that one song, it just captured me. And then they went on to, I just bought the Gorillaz new record, and I realized she's a guest singer on the Gorillaz record, I think on two or three tracks now, and she just has a really, really unique voice.
Yeah,
her name is Yukimi Nagano, I think, and beautiful, deep voice you'd never think would come out of this little, beautiful Swedish-Japanese singer, you know, and she's got this really deep resonance, and she's just real.
Yeah, I think my feeling is, oops, I should shut up when you talk. No, I was thinking that I felt like you were coming from the same planet. It's like, you know, the great female voices planet somehow.
Oh. Wow.
Maybe it's Mars, where Björk and the other singer were coming from, you know, Sparkle Horse. Anyway, so let's listen to this beautiful song, and I'll translate before, and then it will start. Stavo chiedendo a Kim del pezzo successivo che lei ci ha proposto, che è Twice dei Little Dragon, perché lei, scrivendoci via email, insomma, mi ha spiegato che è una canzone che ha cambiato molto il suo modo di ascoltare la musica, che ha cambiato profondamente anche il suo modo di farla. E io le ho chiesto perché, visto che è un pezzo anche recente, appartiene a un disco del 2007. Durante una festa stavano suonando un pezzo di Kim e successivamente poi è stato messo un pezzo di Little Dragon e lei è rimasta completamente incantata. Era appunto questa Twice, dove la voce di questa vocalist, di questa cantante, l'ha lasciata, come dire, a bocca aperta, appunto per la sensibilità e soprattutto per la profonda carica di cui era intrisa. Io non posso descrivere a parole quello che la musica già può trasmettere da sola e ve la faccio ascoltare.
Yeah.
I wish I was there or you were here so we could listen to this together in the studio, you know, and making really a good session, but you know, maybe next time. Incantevole, bellissima questa Twice dei Little Dragon. Ovviamente potete leggere il testo dal link che troverete nel post di questa intervista su radiopazza.blogspot.com. Bene, noi siamo sempre in compagnia di Kim Wyman e della sua selezione musicale. Abbiamo un po' conosciuta anche simpaticamente, ci siamo fatti le nostre belle risate e adesso ci rimangono un po' di canzoni. Devo dire è un po' lunga questa intervista perché abbiamo deciso di non tagliare molte canzoni. Di solito sono 5, però in questo caso veramente non sapevamo cosa lasciare fuori. E quindi, siccome la radio è mia, è nostra, è di Gregs, di Prisma, di un'altra radio, insomma, questa è una radio che può fare quello che vuole. Noi andiamo avanti fino a che non esauriamo il materiale a disposizione. Okay, Kim, are you there? Are you still there?
Yes.
I wanted to ask you about your relationship with covers, with singing somebody else's song. How do you feel about it?
I love it. honestly. It's very freeing. I think that if it's not in a karaoke way, it's okay, you know?
Well, of course.
That rhymes, but if you can make it your own, or even if you don't, it just gives you, it frees you. You don't have to, you're not writing it. It's someone else's creation, and you're just basically doing your take on it. And so it's like playtime, you know, and hopefully you don't offend anyone that wrote a really beautiful song.
Yeah, but don't you feel, oops, chi mi sta appunto dicendo che il suo rapporto con le cover è bellissimo perché è molto libero e soprattutto ti lascia quella come dire, non è proprio cantare per il karaoke, l'importante è che non sia questo, ecco. Però è la libertà che ti lascia il fatto stesso che la canzone sia stata scritta da qualcun altro, ti deresponsabilizza in un certo senso e ti lascia l'opportunità di giocare. But sometimes don't you feel maybe the responsibility of making it better, or sometimes don't you feel like maybe it's wrong to change the arrangement of the song?
Yes, sometimes I think it depends on what it is for. If I'm just doing it for fun, and it's going to be in my bedroom, maybe no, it's okay. But other times, you know, you're not going to rewrite a song. For instance, I think you have a track, a Nirvana track that I did a cover of, and I was asked to do an entire, I think I was asked to do 6 or 7 Nirvana tracks I have, because there was a library that was being done and they were going to license the tracks from different artists who were doing their interpretations of Kurt Cobain. And my God, I mean, could you think of a more, you know, an artist that he's just incredible and you don't really want to redo anything he's done. And it's quite intimidating to be given a Kurt Cobain song and say, can you cover this, you know? So in a way, I think for me, it's just I'm not trying to do anything that he did because I'm so far from him, and thank God, you know, I never would be him because he is so his own unique planet and he's amazing. So you just kind of are freed at that point and you do your little take on it and it goes into the universe in another place and it kind of exists there. It's not anything to be compared to it, I think, or, you know what I mean? It sounds like there's a plane flying over your head. Wow, there it goes, it's gone. It's gone now. Are you there?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't... C'è un po' di ritorno nell'audio, però lo risolveremo presto. Infatti, appunto, Kim ci stava dicendo che quello che succede è, nel suo caso è proprio sì, si sente la responsabilità e il dovere. Io le ho chiesto, ma non ti senti un po' schiacciata dalla personalità o anche dalla responsabilità di mantenere integro un pezzo, magari non cambiando troppo l'arrangiamento, quando si fa una cover? E lei mi diceva, beh, sì, si può fare tutto, l'importante è che sia sempre con uno spirito giocoso, perché c'è sempre sì il discorso della grandezza di un artista, come nel caso di Kurt Cobain, visto che successivamente ascolteremo la sua cover di Lithium. E appunto quello che succede è che ti vai a confrontare con un grande, con una persona che stava completamente nel suo mondo e che ha cambiato a modo suo anche il modo di fare musica, soprattutto per quanto riguarda il rock e non solo, il modo stesso di concepire la creazione musicale. Sì, può essere schiacciante, però comunque cimentarsi in questa cosa senza pretendere troppo da se stessi o senza prendersi troppo sul serio è qualcosa che lo rende possibile. So now we are going to listen to your version of Lithium, and well, we will comment it later. Are you there? Yeah?
I'm okay. Here.
Adesso ci ascoltiamo Lithium, che è una cover dei Nirvana, ovviamente, e questa è Kim Wayman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Today I found my friends, they're in my head. I'm so ugly, that's okay, cause so are you. We broke our mirrors Sunday morning,
every day for all I care, and I'm not scared. Light my candles in a daze, 'cause I found God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I shaved my head and I'm not sad, and just maybe I'm to blame for all I've heard, and I'm not sure. I'm so excited, I can't wait to meet you there, and I don't care. I'm so horny, but that's okay, my will is good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Questa era la versione di Kim Wayman di Lithium dei Nirvana. Kim, can I say that you made it sweeter?
Sweeter than what?
Sweeter than it was. I mean, the Nirvana played it somehow like it was like a cry, and at the same time passionate. And but even if the words were about something happy, like meeting friends and finding God. But you changed the feeling of the expression in the song.
Okay. I think, well, it's, I mean, it's my interpretation of it, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's kind of, it almost felt like on the that was kind of taken where I felt recording it. We recorded it in my house with some friends, and it was kind of like just on the edge of lunacy. I almost felt like I was brought to that place, like, okay, I don't care if it sounds pretty, I don't care if it sounds ugly, I don't care if my voice cracks or if it's sweet or if it's not. I was just kind of, really, his words were so powerful, and the chord changes and the way he writes, that whatever Kurt writes, the pain comes through, you know what I mean? And so whatever way that I received that, and it came out kind of just as on the page. I mean, I don't, it's in a way, it's very tongue-in-cheek because it sounds all happy like a carnival, but it's actually pretty, it's a pretty dark song.
It is. You know what? Okay. C'è sempre questo problema quando passiamo da una voce all'altra, purtroppo Skype questo ci offre. I wanted to tell you, yes, but I didn't mean to say that you changed the song. What I wanted to say is that you took out the sweetness of the song outside because it was contained only in the words. I mean, as far as I see or listen, let's say. Volevo dire, cioè ho chiesto a Kim il suo modo di cantare questa canzone l'ha resa più dolce. In sua risposta c'è stato: beh, questa l'abbiamo registrata a casa mia, si è creata una situazione particolare. Sì, è vero, è un pezzo un po', come dire, comunque rimane sempre un pezzo dark. Ecco, lei ha detto molte cose, però il succo del discorso un po' ve lo riassumo io. Ma appunto il mio intervento era per dire che lei ha tirato fuori ciò che c'era di dolce nella canzone, anche perché si parla un po' di incontrare gli amici, di trovare Dio, ecco, sempre quelle famose riflessioni che hanno portato Kurt Cobain forse al suicidio. Comunque questa, vabbè, lasciamo perdere. And Kim, I would like to also to talk about your record. I would like to know if it's ready for the outcome.
Yes, basically this record that I'm going to be putting out is kind of a compilation of material from the last 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm. How many years?
Seven, maybe. I've been doing a lot of collaborating with people, and I think along the way somehow I got so into it that I forgot about all the stuff I was writing on my own. I didn't release it as a record of my own. So,
Is it your first album?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent.
So it will be the first album, and it's going to be kind of a mishmash of different things and from different places, whether I'm recording in New York or with friends.
Beautiful. So I have a prototype.
You do.
Beautiful. I'm amazed. Thank you so much. Ecco, sì, stavamo dicendo, le ho chiesto del suo album, se è già uscito, se è in preparazione, eccetera, e mi ha detto che ancora non è uscito, sta per essere pubblicato a breve e racchiude 7 anni del suo lavoro. Anche molto spesso capita questo proprio agli artisti con le loro opere prime, in cui si condensa un po' tutto ciò che hanno fatto. E nel suo caso particolare si parla di tantissime cose, collaborazioni, però è arrivata a un punto in cui sente il bisogno di racchiudere un po' e condensare su se stessa tutto ciò che ha fatto fino ad oggi. E quindi, insomma, posso godere di un bellissimo prototipo del suo CD qui nelle mie mani. Kim, we are going to listen to a group called Bad for Lashes, and the song is Two Planets. You want to say something about it? You want to present it?
There's a song called Two Planets, and it's a newer band from, I think she's a British musician. Her name is Natasha. And she's absolutely amazing in the way that they've been performing a lot around Brooklyn, and it's very lo-fi and lo-fi. Sparse, and I think they can do a lot with a little, and I just love the sensibility.
Okay.
So, this is Bad for Lashes.
Ok, Kim ci stava dicendo che il pezzo che ha scelto per farci ascoltare, che è dei Bad for Lashes, il titolo è Two Planets, Due Pianeti, ed è appunto il motivo per cui l'ha scelta è proprio per la caratteristica del gruppo, della cantante Natasha, credo sia inglese. Proprio perché sono capaci di fare tantissimo con poco, con pochi mezzi. Lei è un po' lo-fi, allo stesso tempo. Come dire, di enorme qualità musicale. A voi, Bad for Lashes.
Young strangers in a strange land, wondrous in a vast and unknowable universe. Thank you.
questi erano i Bat for Lashes con la loro Two Planets. Devo dire, sono anch'io molto, molto, come dire, colpito dal modo di prodursi dei Bat for Lashes. Come potevate ascoltare, c'era un grandissimo uso dei rumori, dei sottofondi fruscianti. Questo è un po' ciò che cercano di fare tutti gli artisti, magari, che per emergere non hanno i grandi mezzi produttivi o dei grandi contratti che permettano di utilizzare degli studi di pregio, eccetera. O poi magari io mi sbaglio, magari ho detto una grande cavolata ed è solamente una scelta artistica, tutto può essere. Kim, I was commenting that sometimes, you know, for an artist, especially in the beginning, it's important to find the right way to use lo-fi means to get the possibility to express himself. And sometimes this becomes the best way of making music. It becomes a kind of aesthetics.
Yes, I agree completely. I do. I mean, when you're starting out, that's all you have, right? You have kind of skeleton crew. That's what you're doing. You're not, you've got your keyboard or your little ghetto, like I had my little weird microphone and my little delay or whatever it is. And people see it as a novelty, but in actuality, it's what you have, you know, and you're trying to get out what's in your head through these little devices. And whether you have to be up there actually singing the delay yourself, you know, yes, instead of having a delay on the vocal, you're sitting there and you're going,
yeah, you can sing with yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You can sing with yourself. Like, oh my God. What's going on? No, I wanted to say you can sing with yourself. Do you do that sometimes?
I have. I've sang with myself in the way that I sang a lot in the beginning, where I figured out my little rig where I'd have two microphones on stage, and I still do it now if there's a synthesizer that I'm playing instead of a piano, but also just standing or whatever, even if I'm not playing a piano, if I'm playing guitar or whatever. But basically to have one mic that's going to the house and then one mic that's going to a delay, which I'm controlling with different settings, whether it be, you know, a 3-second delay or a radio effect or whatever it is, so that I can kind of toggle back and forth physically between the two effects, and hopefully the club doesn't blow up when the mics hit each other.
Wow.
And over, you know, it's like kind of, you really have to put all your trust in the sound man and going, okay, if you see it start to go,
and
save everyone.
Yeah, well, and sometimes you just trust the situation, because anything can happen, you know. It's just you have a big trust in what can happen, or you try to control it.
Yeah, you don't even know what they're hearing half the time, because what you're hearing, you know, on stage is what the house is hearing. So you're going, well, I hope I'm not hurting it there.
Sì, Kim ci stava appunto spiegando che è proprio vero il fatto di certe volte trovarsi a utilizzare dei mezzi di fortuna, soprattutto quando è tutto ciò che hai. Ha mantenuto nel suo piccolo un po' questa tecnica, perché quando si esibisce utilizza due microfoni e altri tipi di sistemi di feedback. Certe volte il suono che utilizza è tramite un doppio microfono, è proprio il delay della sua stessa voce, quindi riesce a cantare con se stessa, creando delle performance anche con il pubblico che interviene quando il microfono è rivolto verso di loro. Insomma, sarei molto, anche molto curioso di essere a una sua performance. I was saying that I would also be really curious to be present at one of your performances to see what happens with this technique. I'm really interested to it. Do you have any video or anything like that?
Any DVD?
No, I mean anything, or maybe uploaded on YouTube or something.
Ah, videos of shows. I will soon. I did a show in December and I'm waiting to get the video from someone who did apparently took some video. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to get it. And if it's worthy of, you know, like if it's not so loud, I'm going to try to put it out so people can see. But in the future, I'm going to be recording some shows in April and May, so that
Beautiful.
People can get an idea, because I've been getting a lot of questions for video, and so now it's time.
Yeah, please do. I want to see how it works. I'm really interested. And well, we are going to our last song, and it's Planet Telex, which is a cover of Radiohead made by you. And I wanted to ask you one last thing. Well, I don't know maybe if it's important or not, but it's a curious thing about you that you were chosen for to be the voice of Victoria's Secret in 2009. What does that mean? I mean, did they use your voice for something?
Well, yeah, I'm the voice on the commercials and the campaign for speaking.
It's just speech,
and then because I do, you know, living in New York City, you have to pay the rent too. So I sing commercials and I do voiceover. So 1 minute I'm doing the voiceover for Victoria's Secret, and then the next minute I'm doing the voiceover for Play School. You know, it's kind of absurd.
No. Nobody can understand you better than me. I mean, I try to. I'm working in weekends every night. And during the day, I go to university, so I think I sleep 4 hours a night. But if we love something, we try to do it anyways. Like I do radio and you do music. I mean, it's perfectly understandable. Le ho chiesto un'ultima cosa prima di presentare il pezzo successivo, nonché l'ultimo di questo incontro, questa intervista, e leggevo appunto nella sua biografia che è stata scelta come voce della campagna pubblicitaria di Victoria's Secret. E in che senso voce? Cioè, magari una canzone o altro? Invece no, semplicemente le hanno chiesto di essere la voce che parlava durante la pubblicità. Questa è una curiosità simpatica e carina, e lei ha detto: beh sì, a New York per pagare l'affitto si fa questo e altro. Quindi le ho detto che insomma questo succede un po' dappertutto nel mondo, nessuno può capirla meglio di me per vari problemi e vari motivi. Comunque è sempre bello avere a che fare con persone reali e capire chi c'è dietro l'artista, che magari in una copertina o in una foto è sempre così perfetto e come dire indistruttibile. I was saying also that well, at the end of this conversation is to say that it's really nice to see that you're a real person instead of just, you know, an artist, a picture on the internet, or just a voice in a song. This is because you said you have to pay the rent, so you are like us, you are like everybody, you're a normal person. And this is the main thing. So we are going to listen to Planet Telex. Andiamo ad ascoltare adesso la cover di Planet Telex fatta da Kim Wayman, che è appunto una canzone dei Radiohead. You want to say something about this song? Why did you choose this other cover?
It's just, you know, you had asked me to give you songs that marked periods of my life.
Yes.
And influenced me in different ways. And when we covered this song, I hit a band with my ex-boyfriend named Sean Evans, who is very talented, and that was Little Kid and Space Girl. We covered this song, and it was just being so enamored with Radiohead and so amazed with, you know, their artistic ability and the way they were growing as a band and growing into electronica. And you just saw them, the way that they were becoming different on every record. This was one of their first records, and it was kind of just them at the beginning.
Pablo Honey, isn't it?
It allowed me to unleash my inner, you know, soaring, I don't know what you even call it, but it was just our take on it. And it's just a little drop in the bucket. I don't think anyone ever heard it, but it's kind of not even a good mix. It's a demo, but it was kind of like Radiohead to me is, you know, pioneers. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way, but
they still are pioneers.
Oh my God. Yes, yeah, it is, because they are not done ever, but they are completely, unbelievably making their mark every day. Mm-hmm. And Tom is, even with his new band, Atoms for Peace. And, you know, everything that he does, he doesn't have a limit. He has no limit on what he does. And I think that that's a really, really healthy way to look at music and look at the industry, even if, you know,
even if they are in the mainstream
or whatever. You know, it's just, he's just unbelievable in his way that he approaches things. And so it's just our little cover of it, and that's kind of what it is.
what year was that?
I'm sorry?
What year was that?
What year?
Yeah.
We covered this song in 2005.
2005, so 5 years ago, more or less.
Yeah, this is back from the vaults.
questa canzone è stata scelta da Kim, o meglio è stata fatta in cover da Kim insieme al suo ex ragazzo nel 2005, come ci ha appena detto adesso. E appunto le ho chiesto perché questa canzone, e ovviamente è sembrato anche un po' inutile chiederlo, però insomma ha confermato la sua grande passione per i Radiohead, che tutt'oggi rappresentano una frontiera che si sposta sempre in avanti. Sono stati e sono ancora dei grandi pionieri, e soprattutto la libertà che gli è concessa, nonostante siano comunque parte integrante del sistema musicale odierno, del mercato. Nonostante ciò, loro non si fermano, proseguono. Soprattutto Thom Yorke, con i suoi nuovi progetti, prosegue nella sua creazione senza limiti. È un uomo senza limiti, lei lo definisce. Kim, it was really really nice, and it was a beautiful moment to meet you here in this interview. Thank you so much, you were very kind, and we are going to listen to your version of Planet Telex, and we hope to keep in touch with you and meet you again sometimes, maybe in the next future.
Thank you very much.
Salutiamo adesso Kim e andiamo ad ascoltare la sua cover di Planet Telex. È stato un piacere averla qui con noi su Radio Pazza, e magari in un prossimo futuro ci riascolteremo presto, magari per degli aggiornamenti, chissà. Questa è Kim Wayman con Planet Telex.
You can force it, but it will not come. You can taste it, but it will not fall. You can crush it, but it's always here. You can crush it, but forget.